Carol King starting things off on a Wednesday morning, which normally means that Mike Kunal is joining us. But Mike is feeling a bit under the weather here this morning. So Joe Helberg has agreed to help me out this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. It's nice that I do get up early enough, and sometimes I slip in here and can be that substitute teacher when, your sister Chris is not.
Well, she's coming in on Friday.
Well, okay, great.
And John Picard's coming in on Monday. So wonderful. I have a whole bunch of substitutes that are going to happen here in a short amount of time.
Wonderful. It's good to have, more characters to play
to my
part.
Cast, right?
Yes.
Well, how was the drive in?
Great. It's clear. Roads are good. No snow, no fog, no freezing fog.
Well, we're going to check out that weather forecast here coming right up. It is going to be partly, they're talking for some fog. You didn't see any fog falling to the ground, you said there, huh, this morning. But they are looking for some freezing fog today between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. So maybe on your way out to school, you'll have some fog. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny today with a high near 43. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 24. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, highs near 40. We're expecting some winds on Thursday night up to 25 miles an hour. And then Friday, sunny with a high near 23, a high of 23. So it's going to be a little cold here this weekend. But don't worry, it's going to warm up again by Sunday, 44 degrees. Menominee's at 30 this morning, Marquette 32, Iron Mountain 29, and in Escanaba, we have 29 degrees.
Nice.
Yeah, that is kind of nice. What day did you play? Was that
last Wednesday?
Was it Wednesday?
Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh, has it been that long since Valentine's already, right?
I mean, people are actually starting to plan next Valentine's Day already, I think.
You think that's that a special of a day, do you?
Oh, it's special, but I don't think it's that special.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a great time there, and it sounded really good, so I appreciate you you doing that, right?
Yeah, so it was a good night. The House Ludington had a wonderful meal with all-you-can-eat crab legs, and they had a great turnout for that, and another lovely crowd in the ballroom. People were dancing, having fun, and that's why we do what we do.
I think maybe even my wife and I might have done it a few times as well.
Yes.
Gotten out there dancing. I'm not getting the music to come up. I wasn't planned. I was trying to do this. And you can just see my laptop just went bloop.
There you go. Yes.
Well,
happy Wednesday.
I apologize, Joe.
You don't need to.
I was going to play some music of you in the background. I'll see if I can still pull it up a little bit later. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. You were telling me that you got some music that you got coming in that you've been working on.
Yeah. Well, the Dorhoff family back in the 1950s, for those of you that listen every day and might have caught this story in the past month or months. The Dorhoff family in the 1950s reached out and ordered over 200 pieces of Chet Merrier music. And they played that music for a long period, and until, of course, rock and roll became popular.
Okay.
And when rock and roll became popular, they had to go back to ordering charts that were, made for a bigger ensemble. It was an all-family ensemble. I think the mom was on the piano. You had father and sons on the saxes and the bass. And there are pictures on, and I'm going to have to start posting these pictures once I get this music, just to show my gratitude, because they are sending me every chart that they had in possession the last time they played, which was in 2000, I believe, the year 2000.
You got overwhelmed when you got the other music. Is this going to be a lot of music as well?
Well, this is actually going to be sorted. So the music that I got was all over the place. I mean, I had...
Okay. You were piecing it together like a puzzle.
Yeah, it was a large puzzle. So this one, the only negative is it's just it's not the full ensemble, so there won't be any trombone music with this. I don't know that there would be any bass music.
So what do you do then?
Well, I'll have to
just have him twiddle his thumbs, or
well, I could, but I already had that when we were playing. What was the song again? Margaritaville. I didn't realize that the trombone player was the singer on that song. So on the front page it said vocal, and on the second page it had trombone listed. But Bruce didn't have any music for Margaritaville, so I arranged music for him. And of course, we were supposed to play that on Valentine's Day, but unfortunately, the leader of the band, I won't name any names, but
that's you.
The leader of the band forgot to send the lead sheet, so the guys only brought the music that we had set up in the two sets. So I will take full blame for that, but.
Well, this isn't Margaritaville.
Nope.
But I did pull up the one song that I was able to record from the House of Ludington last Wednesday.
Yes.
How do you sound?
You know, it was a great night. I put a shout out to the family I care down on Ludington Street because I just got a brand new pair of glasses. And I played so many more bright notes. You know, my glasses are bifocals, and no line on my glasses. But yeah. I didn't realize that bifocals are only good.
Well, here you go, right here. Right. People don't realize how difficult that solo is right there.
You know, there are a few solos, you know.
Because that's you right there.
That was me, yeah. And there are a few notes, you know, ghosted notes or notes that didn't come out. But all in all, it flowed very well.
It did.
But yeah, you know, I didn't realize until I went in for my eye exam that with bifocals, you basically have from the middle of your glasses to your nose is all that's really with the prescription. From halfway to your ears is just regular glasses. They don't have the prescription part in there. And, it's not true for all glasses, I'm sure, but for my glasses, they are. So I got a single prescription lens that allows me to have the entire lens. And I'm telling you, I wasn't that wonderful piano player, you know, Stevie Wonder, where I'm totally blind with my glasses. But there were so many notes that I just were blurry or I couldn't see because when I play my mute, I'm looking to my right and I'm just, oh boy, I missed another one. And so I had been doing a less than satisfactory performance in the past, but from here on out, it's nothing but more correct notes.
Good notes there, right? Well, good for you. I mean, that's kind of weird to not realize that. You must have been struggling with it. You must have known that's why you got the checkup.
Yeah. Well, and here's it. I still remember the first gig I ever played where I knew I needed to get glasses, and that was downstate playing with the Gateway Community Band, which is like the Escanaba City Band out of Clare. And I had to have the stand right up against my face.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a St. Patrick's Day concert. And we were at the Doherty Hotel. I'll never forget. And I'm like, what is going on? It's kind of like when Marie Peterson helped me to know that I hit puberty. You know, it was that much of a, oh my goodness, I need glasses. It was terrible. And so now I hopefully have realized the correction and can move forward.
I didn't need glasses my whole life, but recently I was struggling to read and it was uncomfortable to read.
Yes.
And so my wife had some readers and put them on, and you're right, it kind of changes things. So now I got these cheap readers that I'm not as fancy as you as far as looks are concerned, but I even have a blue one, which because you got to have them all over the place because I'm not used to having them yet.
Yes.
So you have to have them all over as Andy Heller from my class
yes.
posted online saying that do you have to have one for every room that you walk into because you're struggling going, okay, now I got to look at something close.
And then you realize you had the one pair on your head.
Yeah.
You know, you got them in every room.
Do you do that?
Yeah. I don't do that. I only have the one pair that I wear. But
it is so much more comfortable being able to read and see. I can't imagine what that must have been like for people that didn't have those kinds of fixes.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this video, and I'm sure you did, but it was from the Escanaba High School game last Friday. The percussion drum line. The
yeah.
percussion line that they had there.
It
that
did.
Was so cool. They did a really good job.
You know, kudos to Escanaba for you know, always trying to do things to entertain from the arts department. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, the orchestra, the choirs, the bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see these types of things at, like, Piston games and things like that. And, you know, it's nice, you know, it's nice for me to be able to see the musicians in high school, you know, being able to showcase their talents to a different crowd.
Not only playing, but performing as well, because
yeah.
they're out there doing different formations.
Yeah.
And stuff to go with it.
It made
it's just
me think
very
of,
cool.
It made me think of Bill Shoquist, though.
How's that?
Because I'm watching the quad player. I think it was the quad players, but maybe it was the snare drummers, but they were doing the crab walk, which is the sideways march for percussionists.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did the alumni for homecoming this year at Northern, we did our morning rehearsal, and Bill came up and says, "Oh my God, I haven't marched in so long. I didn't know how hard this was." So he was sweating a little bit, which was kind of fun.
And then watching the cymbal players do their little formation
yes.
there too, that was kind of cool. But the bass drums are heavy, and people
they
don't
are.
Realize how bulky and awkward those can be.
There is
and
no,
they're out there pushing them back and forth.
There is no way to have a harness that gives you 100% comfort as a percussionist. They don't make them yet.
Well, kudos to them. That was
yeah.
really cool. And I hope they get out and do that some more, because that was a lot of fun.
And here's the thing, you know, they're not, you know, I look at Escanaba High School band, and, you know, the school size has gone down a little bit. The band size has gone down a little bit. And you look at a percussion ensemble like that, and, you go to the Traverse Cities. When I was downstate, we went to the showcases for marching band in Traverse City, and actually it was in Cadillac, but Traverse City East, Traverse City West, all the Traverse City, and then Elma College would go there. But it always seemed like the Traverse City high schools were the showcase that everybody wanted to see. But they had such large ensembles. And when you get a, you know, 30, 40 piece percussion section to do that, and you have, you know, 8 sets of cymbals, that's really flashy. But, you know, Escanaba did a great job, and like I said, kudos to Robbie Miller and the band, the kids. I mean, the kids are the ones that are doing it. Robbie's a great educator and teacher for Escanaba, but the kids really are the ones that shine, which is the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope they do that some more.
Absolutely.
That'd be really cool. You talked about the population going down. That's actually going to be one of our stories. We're
yes.
dealing with the workforce coming up here in news at the bottom of the hour. And I've often said it, but when I went to school and graduated in 1979, there are 2,000 less kids in the school system than when you and I went to school.
Yeah.
That's a lot
it is.
Of kids. And our population hasn't changed, which shows that it's getting older.
Yes.
So that's one of the issues, and how do you deal with that with the workforce? That's one of the stories coming up in news at the bottom of the hour. Joe Helberg joining us here this morning. He's kind of sitting in with Mike Canall off sick, so I really appreciate that. Get you some coffee and sit back. As
yes.
Actually, Joe's heading off to school because he teaches in Hannaville, so we got to make sure that we do that on time, okay?
Yes.
All right. That is the Eagles taking it to the limit from 1976. Joe Helberg joining us here this morning on a Wednesday morning. And
yes.
Joe, today is the day that Eagle transcript case is going to be appearing in New York.
Yes.
The Hotel California transcripts, apparently a lot of pages. I don't know how many words could there possibly be.
Well, you know,
they said 80 pages.
There were probably lyrics that weren't fit for radio at that point. You know, today they'd be fine, but back in the day,
they a lot of different ones that they didn't quite fit. Yes. Apparently they were coming up for auction, and Don Henley kind of noticed, and he actually bought some of them himself to try and get them back, but then reported them stolen. And so that's why this case is out there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because everybody's always looking, you know, to make a purchase and then turn a profit. And that's kind of what happened.
It's amazing that these musicians can lose possession or contact of the stuff that they have rights to.
Well, and they're not sure exactly how this happened, because the band member who I believe helped in writing, was one of the co-writers for the song, was the one that got it, and he's trying to say that, you know, he thinks he might have found it in a closet.
Yeah, three different ways of doing this. Some of it was discarded in a garbage can. Yeah.
So who knows what the real truth is, because there are certain members of the Eagles that are no longer
Don's
with us.
Don's no longer there, and of course one of them, he said, well, Don just gave it to me.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
Well, you don't think of that, I guess.
No.
Way back, how many years ago? 50, almost 50 years ago now.
Yeah.
Whether or not you kept the envelopes that you wrote the song on the back of. Trumpet player, one of my favorite trumpet players is Maynard Ferguson. Got to see him in Norway.
Yes.
And this is one of the songs that we played when I was in high school in the jazz band. It's always been one of my favorite ones for him. And can you guess which one it is?
Oh, there's so many.
I know. That's why I'm asking if you can guess which one it is, because I know which one you're going to say, and it's not going to be it.
Oh, you know, MacArthur Park.
Well, that wouldn't have been one I would have guessed. But
that's such a great tune.
It is a great tune, and I could have picked that one.
You could have.
But Birdland is the one I thought that you might have said.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, but this one is Chameleon on WDBC. There you go. Yes. Maynard Ferguson this morning on WDBC. A little bit of screaming trumpets for breakfast is always a good thing.
Yes.
Now, I saw Maynard in Norway when he was older.
Yep.
So they saved him just for the high notes, because that's what he was known for.
Absolutely.
But it was a lot of fun.
Back in 1988, Bruce Castle took the jazz band to Houghton, and he did a concert at Michigan Tech. And you know, the greatest thing was, you know, amazing band that he played with, but in the second half after the intermission, we didn't realize that he came through, cause they shut out the lights, and he was standing probably from me to your plaque there on the wall, and he started playing, and it was so loud and but so full and so good. And it made all of us jump, because here he is, you know, standing, you know, 4 feet away from us. I'll never forget that. So good times.
You were in the jazz band in 88?
I was a sophomore. That's when Alex and Bill were seniors, and so many, you know, I think of all the different musicians, Kevin Chown would have been there as well. And, we did that. And then I also saw the Tonight Show band with Doc Severinsen in Milwaukee. Alan Porter's dad had bought tickets for Alan and a handful of his friends to go to this concert, and one person had backed out. So Barry Porter came to me and said, hey, would you like to go? And I'm like, absolutely. Well, at that point, Alan didn't like me as much, because I was the first chair. I was... And he was
No conflict there, huh?
Yeah. You know how musicians are sometimes. Yeah. You know, competition. So he was not the happiest person that I was on that trip. David Leishner was also with us. So it was Bill Rinney, Alex Jacoby, David Leishner, Alan Porter, me, and Barry, Alan's dad. And I still remember the Northern Lights were out when we were dropping people off. And so the great cap to the end, the end of the night, you had Snooky Young playing his blue plunger that he got from, who was the one that taught him how to play plunger?
Okay. Can't help you.
I know. He passed away just recently. But anyway, great flugelhorn player and amazing musician. But
well, when I was, John Watson was the director when I was in jazz band, and we played mm-hmm. Chameleon, so that one there. We also played Gospel John, which is actually my favorite one that we played. There was some great saxophone solos in that one.
Yes.
And then we went up to Northern for a conference, and I remember being enthralled with the jazz band from Northern and the capability that they had. I always thought that was pretty cool. Didn't get to see anybody famous, but maybe they did later become famous. I don't know, but it was a good time. It's good to have those kinds of, you know, the solo ensembles and the ability to play and with the kids here in the area and go see what the college kids are doing. Yes. And
we used to have when we were in high school, I think it was Northern and Michigan Tech jazz bands would play dual concerts, and they did tours.
Is that right?
So that was always great to see, because you always thought Michigan Tech is musicians.
Well, I went there. Now, come on. So we did that, of course, and I was voted the best marcher in my senior year mm-hmm. here at Escanaba. We get up there, and the marching consisted of, okay, you guys up that way, you go, okay, let's just go. And that's how they did it. And
scatter drill.
It was it was definitely that. It was appalling, but it was fun. Of course, you know, I had to play the football games. If you wanted to play the hockey games, of course, that those days, the hockey games was what everybody went to. But I also played the basketball games, and it was I had a good time with it. They didn't have a jazz band then. They do now.
Yep.
But we had the pep band, and at that time, we would go down to Northern for the hockey games. And we would just blow out the Northern's band.
They still do.
No, they don't. They don't allow Tech to go to the Northern games anymore.
I actually played with them, I believe it was last season. I played a game, and I think it was in the finals where they were both playing.
Both so
they
bands played? Oh, yep. Okay.
And, it's great because, Tech doesn't have, as large of a band. They bring a handful of people, but, there's something about those engineers and their ability to scream. I don't know what they're doing to their instruments, but they have people that are just flat out players, and they have so much fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
It was a lot of fun.
That's what gets the crowd going and pumped up. Sometimes more than the action on the ice or on the field, the band can do that. But Clark Terry is the trumpet player that got Snooky Young and taught Marsalis how to play plunger as well. So
wow,
yeah,
there's a name drop.
Oh yeah, Wynton Marsalis learned how to play from Clark Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but
and his music I haven't played. We should probably pull something up on him someday. But
yeah,
Wynton Marsalis is a great trumpet player.
He is.
Lots of different styles.
Great story how he wanted to. I know you got to do sports here in a second, but
I've just got to get you on the road too, don't I?
Yeah, my road is short. But so Wynton Marsalis did not like playing the trumpet when he was young, and he actually tossed his trumpet. The story that I heard, of course, he tossed his trumpet outside the window, knowing that his father, who was a piano player, and of course his brother was saxophone, Branford Marsalis, and he broke his horn on purpose. Because he wanted to be out, playing with the kids on the street, whatever they were doing out there. And when his dad came home, he's, oh, daddy, I don't know what happened. My horn fell out and it broke. I know you can't. So his father basically said, you know what? I don't have money to buy a new trumpet, which Winston would have been happy with, except his dad said, but I'm going to buy you one and you're going to pay it off. So now all of a sudden, because he had to pay for it, He took care of it. Yeah. Yes, but so and there's so many, Jens Lindemann who says he had two choices. He wanted to be a drummer when he started. They had two choices to play a clarinet or a trumpet. He played trumpet and he was hooked, and he never looked back. He never wanted to be a percussionist.
He didn't want to be a drummer anymore.
Another top trumpet player in the world. But
well, how's your kids doing over at Hannibal? You got any performances coming up or anything that you're working on?
We don't. Actually, yesterday it was funny because I wrote out the notes for Let's Go Eagles. You know, we don't have that fight song. We were talking about the Vegas fight song. We don't have a fight song out at Hannibal yet. And they're getting ready to play their basketball tournaments. John Bittner, who is the Legion baseball coach for Escanaba, is the boys basketball coach out at Hannibal, and they're doing very well. I think they've lost two or three games. And last year, I think they were undefeated, or 2 years. I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but they had an undefeated season. So the basketball program is doing very well out there on the boys' side. Girls, you know, are improving, which is what you want to see. And the principal, Seth Miller, is the girls' basketball coach. But they're starting their tournaments now, and so hopefully they can do a good job there. And so I put together the notes for Let's Go Eagles, you know, Let's Go Cats, Let's Go, you know, whatever school you're at, you have something, Let's Go Moes or whatever they do in Escanaba. I can't remember because
that fight, was Fight, Fight, Frisky High. Yeah.
Well, that's the fight song, but I'm talking about bump, 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 bump,
oh, okay. bump,
and let's go orange, let's go black, or whatever they do. And so I did that yesterday, and the kids had never heard it before. So it's like they didn't know how excited they should be, you know, learning something like that. But I told them if we, you know, have another pep assembly, we're going to play, you know, when the kids come out to the floor and give the cheerleaders something to really cheer about. So
awesome.
Yeah. So pretty exciting. The kids do a really good job out there, and I'm glad to be out there. And it's a wonderful school, great kids, great staff to work with, great administration. And, you know, it's where I'm going to end my career. So I hope I end it on a high note like Maynard.
Well, you're pretty young, so that'll be there a while.
7 years.
Really?
7 years. Yeah, counting I told down. Them I'd have 10 years and I'll be 60. So, you know.
That's still too young to retire.
For some.
All right, Joe, we'll send you on your way, okay?
Yes, yes.
Thanks for coming in and helping out with us here
Mike?
This morning.
Get healthy, and I'll look forward to hearing you next Wednesday.
You're going to help me out with this? Because you know, Wendy Pepin's coming up in the next half hour.
We
so
go.
We have Wendy Witt, Blues for a Cause.
Pick of the week!
You and me against the world. I love you, Mommy.
Ellen Reddy this morning on WDBC, You and Me Against the World. That sounds like me and Wendy Pepin for Wendy Wednesday, Blues for a Cause, Pick of the Week. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, but we're not really against the world. We're kind of sliding along with the world, right?
Okay, we can do that. It's you and me sliding along with the world. It doesn't have the same ring to it, I guess.
There you go. Yeah.
That's all about struggle and trying to get along in life. Right.
I wish more people did it.
Try to get along?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm getting old, but it just seems like we're more divided than we've ever been.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my lifetime anyway, not. I had a young guy tell me the other day how we grew up, meaning me, and you know, I'm going to be 72 this year. I thought I was going to be 73. That's old age. I'm only going to be 72. But he was telling me how we lived in the best generation ever in the world, and, you know, he's going on, and I just looked at him, he's in his 30s, and I said, let me talk to you a little bit about the Vietnam War, about our president being assassinated, about a candidate for presidency being assassinated, about Ronald Reagan, you know, being shot. I said, we had fighting, we had people dying on campus, you know, in protests, you know, there were a lot of bad things going on, so for someone right now to say, oh, yeah, you know, you guys had the best generation. Well, we had the best music.
Mm.
But, you know, generation, I don't think so. It's funny how, you know, young people's perceptions are and old people's perceptions are, you know, as we age. And
well, you get crankier as you get older. At least I've been told that. I don't know if I'm getting crankier or not. But
yeah. I don't know.
Or
don't
happier. Know I'm hoping I'm one of those that gets happier as I get older.
Yeah. Don't worry, be happy, right?
Okay.
Yeah, let's give that a shot sometime.
Hey, before we get going this morning, I just got shot some news. So you remember the cruise ship that came into Escanaba?
And then was never going to come anymore?
Right, because they were leaving the Great Lakes. Well, they are apparently shutting down completely.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they said that they were affected by COVID-19 and other related travel preferences. So despite great efforts by, they're saying, this is the company talking, by our team, crew, and partners, demand has not recovered, and the company has been financially unsustainable. So they're deeply proud of their crew, and but they're reflecting on their journey, and they filled their gratitude and all this other stuff. But effective immediately, all future cruises have been canceled.
Oh, that's too bad. They had actually switched to, like, the Mississippi, right?
Yes. Well, that's where they started. Yeah. They started in the Mississippi, okay. Went to the ocean, and then came onto the Great Lakes, spent a couple of years here. And, of course, you know, they still owe money in our area here, too, so we are affected by that adversely.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. And that happens when anytime you have a company that has financial trouble. So I'm, you know, kudos to the Chamber of Commerce for bending over backwards, but I'm sure that they're one of those that are going to be adversely affected by this shutdown as they were continuing to try and recover from that. But I'm hoping that in the future, because as far as the reaction from passengers to Escanaba, it was phenomenal. And I mean, overwhelmingly phenomenal. And so I'm hoping that other cruise ships might take notice and sop up this market in the future, because every little bit helps. And I think that certainly helped put a good light on our community.
As do I. But I think, you know, I wonder if it was the size of the ships. You know, maybe smaller cruise ships for the Great Lakes, where you didn't have such a passenger load that you had to try to fill, because they hadn't filled, right?
Well, Wendy, that wasn't the problem. So the year before, they were doing okay. You know, this past year, they had more of a difficult problem because a competitor came on the Great Lakes, and that was Viking, which is a much larger ship. And mm-hmm. Viking is very popular, and so people flocked to Viking and left the smaller ships like American Queen in the wake, I guess, so to speak.
Okay, so American Queen folded. Is the Viking ship still doing the Great
Lakes? Oh, yes. Yeah, we have there's eight cruise ships on the Great Lakes still. There were nine or 11 this year. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. There were eight the previous year, and I know that more were adding, including Viking. So, because it is certainly a big thing, and it's going to continue to be a big thing. Just whether or not how we can take advantage of it, we'll have to see. But we had 23 stops. That's pretty major, so.
Right, but we had two cruise lines coming in.
Two ships, same cruise line.
Two ships, one cruise line. Okay, now I understand, because I was thinking if one folded, we'd still be having the other one. But, two ships, okay.
Yeah, no, they had the Voyager and the Navigator, both from and then they're trying to sell those ships, and that's why it went off that way. But, yeah. So, big news
I'm not
there.
Ready for an investment quite like that. How about you?
I have a canoe. Does that help? Actually, I have six canoes. One of them is yours because they belong to the Scouts.
One of those was given to me, yeah. And hopefully the Boy Scouts are making good use of it.
They definitely are. They definitely
do. I have my solo, but I haven't been out in it in a number of years. And this year, too, the water level is going to be way too low. I'm here on the marsh, so if you have to walk it out, pull it too far, I'm just not going to be doing it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just had visions in my head. I don't remember if you remember the movie African Queen. We just watched that over the weekend.
Catherine
and
Hepburn?
They're, yeah.
Sure.
And they're pushing the boat through the weeds in the mud.
It just reminded me. Some Catherine Hepburn pushing it through.
There you go. You got the picture.
Hey, there are some things going on this week, though.
Yep.
I know the concert at the casino had been canceled, but we do have the Historical Society presentation tonight.
Yeah, that's
Rich Anzalone.
Rich is doing the photography from the Daily Press. That would be
Bernie Schultz,
and that's at 7 o'clock. I've seen him in the past. He does an awesome job of talking about the old photos and kind of, you know, baits people in, and everybody likes to guess who's up on the that he's showing. So, and he's done a great job with that. So that's at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yep, that's at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday we have Hugh Poole out in NEMA,
mm-hmm.
and he's part of Mule Bone Blues. And we also have Ethan Bott at Lee's Garden Winery at 6 o'clock. I haven't heard him, and I was kind of interested in hearing him.
This is on Saturday?
Outlaw country type guy.
Okay.
Yep, that's on Saturday at 6 o'clock. For people who are staying home, they're rerunning a Rolling Stones concert on PBS at 9 o'clock. It's a full moon that night. There's a lot going on. And then the following Wednesday, we have Sit Down Francis out at the college.
At Bay College. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting venue, and I'm glad to see they're doing that, the college, you know, to be able to play local bands like that. We've had music presentations, but not a concert like this.
So they've had quite a few concerts out there, actually. It's just they don't advertise far and wide. It seems to be more, you know, on campus, so you really have to watch their website.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the series of movies that they do every year.
Right.
And, yeah, and same thing, I kind of watch the website. And I understand that the one I was going to see has been rescheduled. I think it was scheduled for next Thursday, and it's been rescheduled to the 21st.
Yeah, something to do with the movie production itself, because they're up for Emmys or Oscars or whatever statue it is.
Whatever they get when they do really well in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do get a lot of movies out at Bay that never make it to the big screen here. It seems here we have a lot of rom-coms and action movies and things like that, but, you know, every now and then they'll intersperse one that's up for some kind of award, but it's good to have Bay there to pick up those, too.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a fun one. I mean, maybe, I don't know if it's a comedy or if it's a drama, but basically this guy is making fun of
Black history.
He's making fun of stereotypes and then writes this parody of that, and then everybody takes him seriously.
Yeah, American Fiction, it's called.
Yeah.
So, and you know the movies are $5.
Is that right?
You can't beat that.
Hmm. Well, what do we have on our turntable here this morning?
Well, someone that I realized we hadn't played before, and that's George Thorogood. And, you know, he's a rock and roller. In fact, last year was his 50th. He did a tour because he had been playing since 1973, and he called it the 50 Years of Rock Tour. And he had to cancel part of it. He's not a young man, and he had some health problems, but he's back on the road. He's one of those musicians that has been out there forever. But when I was kind of researching his history, I found that in 1973, the very first gig he played, he did a lot of the songs that he's still doing, which is pretty amazing. He was out at the casino back in 2013, and I saw him there. He puts on a heck of a show, mm-hmm. a really good show, a lot of energy. I've seen him at a couple of blues concerts, too. But he started off doing these old blues songs that he took up, you know, a few beats, let's put it that way. And he still plays them. The one we're going to play today is called Madison Blues. And it's by Elmore James. And Elmore James, too, he was the one. Did you ever hear The Sky is Crying by who did that? Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Didn't you have that as your pick one time? Maybe not.
I may have. I'd have to go back and look.
It sounds familiar. I'm not sure offhand.
That one and one scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
Yes,
some people sing it one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. But those are actually Elmore James songs that have been picked up by some rock and rollers.
Mm-hmm.
And they really sped them up. But I really like this one. It's called Madison Blues by George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
It is the Wendy Wednesday Blues for a Cause pick of the week. It's the Madison Blues, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, the Wendy Wednesday Blues for a Cause pick of the week. Wow, you can see why he gets the audience revved up, can't you?
He does. You know, it was really dramatic the last time I saw him. I can't remember if it was a casino gig or one of the other ones, but, you know, he does one scotch, one bourbon, one beer, and then he dramatically falls backwards, you know, and the bandmates rush up to, you know, catch him as he falls to the floor and lift him back up. And it's like, it was kind of, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But Elmore James, who did this, who originally wrote it, this was written back. Elmore James was born in 1918, you know, in Mississippi. And, you know, he wrote this when he was very young. Of course, not, again, at that speed, but he did so many songs in such a short period of time. And if you listen to the original, and maybe one of these days we'll play that one, the original Madison Blues by Elmore James.
Okay.
Yep.
He, of course, plays the slide thing that was very popular in the 70s. And he is quoted.
And that's what Elmore James is known for. The actual original person who wrote this was known for a slide guitar way back at the turn, you know, like 1930s, 1940s.
Yeah, which is what you play on your lap. What I'm talking about here is they got that little metal thing they put on their finger, and that's what he's playing when he does the when he does the solos. And so he was once asked about whether or not, you know, his solos. He says, "I play rhythm and slide guitar, and that's about it."
Yeah, slide guitar. Steel guitar is when you play it on your lap.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. Steel guitar.
Certainly a lot of fun, and really appreciate it here this morning. Thanks so much. How's things out in the bay this morning? The sun coming up?
Well, not yet. There's no fog yet, but you know when the sun comes up is usually when you get it. But the sky looks pretty clear out there. So we've had a few really nice sunrises. Now that I know we're moving, not the sun, but I say the sun is moving. The sun is moving more. I'm getting the sunrises now, and they've been pretty spectacular.
Awesome. Well, that's coming up in a little bit. So grab that cup of coffee, sit back, and watch the world come alive. Wendy Pepman with Wendy Wednesday Blues for a Cause, pick of the week. It is a great idea. Thanks so much, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Barry Manilow, he writes the songs, and he's written a lot of good songs. There's no doubt about that.
He has written lots.
Patty is joining us here this morning, bringing along some breakfast, which I really appreciate. In the news here today, we're talking about renovating the bleachers at the Escanaba High School.
You, of course, remember
the wooden bleachers in the gym, right? Massive. They were huge on both sides.
On both sides, which was packed when I was in high school.
For basketball games.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, we played in the pep band on the one side there, so
you
can kind of see, and it was interesting to always, you know, be up in the stands and watch the games, but the woodenness of it, when you got going, when the game was, and you stomp on the wooden.
Oh, you stomped and stomped.
Yeah. That, to me, is a little different than if it was a metal or a plastic composite type of thing.
I thought it sounded great. I mean, it made the other team nervous.
And then homecoming was always really cool to me back in the days when you could put up posters in the hallways. That was a big thing for us. And then we'd bring the posters into the gym, and so the big wall would still be, because you had pep assemblies, you only brought the one out.
That's true.
And then the other one was still up. And then they would put all the posters up on the bleachers and stuff, and just, I always, as a photographer, took pictures of that, and I was always amazed at how colorful that always was.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah. So things are changing always, I'm glad they're keeping it the same as well.
Right. They're going to keep the wooden bleachers. So
the last time they renovated the gym area, they got rid of the wrestling room.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I never was in the wrestling room.
Well, that's a good thing. Wouldn't want you to do that.
Nope.
Should we check out the weather forecast? Did you have any fog coming across town here this morning?
No fog at all. It was kind of just, you know, not too, it was cloudy.
All right. Well, we're going to check out the forecast. We're expecting fog this morning between, I guess it's a little early yet, between 8 and 9 o'clock this morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 43 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 24, and then sunny tomorrow with a high near 40. Then it's going to get a little cooler. Thursday night, we're looking at temperatures to be around 16 and winds up to 25 miles an hour. Friday, we're expecting sunny skies, but a high only near 23 and still windy, gusting up to 25. Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 9. Then Saturday, a high near 32 and then back up to 44 on Sunday.
Yay.
In Menominee this morning, it's 29 degrees. Marquette, 32. Iron Mountain, 28. And in Escanaba, we have 29 degrees.
I thought you'd be so impressed that your non-shoveled driveway was melting.
My non-shoveled driveway. You shoveled the upper part where it was important. That's where we were walking, right? You can drive over the rest.
But it's almost all gone now. Almost all gone.
Thank you to Mother Nature for shoveling our sidewalk.
It's going to be gone. So,
well,
I hope.
Just in time for it to get cold.
I want it gone before it gets cold, because it'll just turn to ice.
It was already ice.
Well, it was snowy ice. It wasn't ice.
Yeah, walking out back here in the studio, you have to be very, very careful because that parking lot likes to get extremely icy, and it was
really
bad this morning.
That's why I parked out front. They do better care of that.
where normal people come in?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose. You were on the girls' sports team at Escanaba the very first year that girls' sports came out. We've talked about gymnastics. Were you on the basketball
team as well? Yes, I was on the very first basketball team that played other teams. And I didn't last very long because all I could do was shoot from afar. I'm so short, I couldn't get under that basket for the life of me.
Is that right?
But it was fun just doing it. And the first gymnastics team was a lot of fun. Karen was so good to work mm-hmm. with. And eventually I just helped her be a coach.
The girls' high school basketball team had their senior night last night.
Oh, cool.
And they snuck away a win from
awesome.
A nominee. That's awesome. Coming up next in sports. Billy Joel this morning. It's just a matter of trust on WDBC. Jim Hansen is joining us here this morning. And Jim, you had quite the interesting experience the other day.
Oh, my Lord. You're heading home on the highway. Did we ever? Unbelievable. Alice and I were downtown shopping, and we were coming home, heading to Portage Point at about 5 o'clock. As we're approaching Holy Cross Cemetery, there's a white, like a panel truck or a pickup truck with a cap on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not paying that much attention, but I'm paying attention. And all of a sudden, this truck starts to weave. It weaves over into the other lane, almost has a head-on accident. It comes back, and between there and the breezy point, it did that about four times. And so I called 911, you know, and as I'm talking to the 911 lady about, you know, I'm following this car, here's where it's located. It's weaving back and forth. I don't know what the issue is, but
yeah.
It's almost had four head-on accidents already. And I mean, I'm talking close, not, you know, not 5 feet away. He's missing these cars by about 12 inches, if not less than that. And as I'm talking on the phone, we're coming around that curve at Portage, or at Breezy Point, and a semi is coming toward us. He weaves over into that lane, misses a head-on,
okay.
But clips the back tires Ooh. Of the semi. It grabbed a hold of the semi, either tires or the metal pieces on the back of the semi, grabbed a hold, hit the right left front of his vehicle, must have caught onto the left tire, actually ripped the tire off completely, not just the tire, but the tire, the part of the axle, transaxle that's there, and he went skidding off to the right. Of course, I'm off to the right side. The tire went flying up in the air about 10 feet and landed right in the middle of the highway.
You saw all this happen?
I'm on the phone with 911 when this is happening,
oh.
And Alice is gasping, going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so, you know, luckily his car slid off the road, so we pulled up behind it, put on our flashers, and I ran up and, you know, the door was kind of stuck, so I grabbed hold of it and ripped it open or pulled it open. And you have the airbag. I could hear the guy because his OnStar was talking to him, and he was responding. And
oh, is so that right?
A young kid came up, and I said, do you have a knife? I said, yeah. So I cut the airbag.
Oh, my gosh.
Deflated it, opened it up, and started talking with him. And got it, you know, he seemed very coherent. My first thought that, you know, the guy was probably drunk the way he was weaving back and forth. But I don't know what the issue was. But anyway, he tried to get out of the car. And he said, no, just stay here. Are you okay? Does it hurt anywhere? And apparently his stomach was hurting from the safety belt. But then shortly thereafter, a sheriff's deputy pulled up. And, of course, found out that he was a former student. And
as all of us are, right?
As all of you guys are, absolutely. And I didn't, you know, I really don't know what the issues were or what, you know, what the end result was. But, boy, his guy was lucky and, you know, fortunate that he didn't run into somebody. You know, there were probably four situations where he could have had a head-on accident and hurt himself and killed someone else and would have been just unbelievable. So,
wow, that's
if you're out there
story.
Driving, and I don't know what the issue was with this guy, but leave your damn phones off and pay attention to where you're going, what you're doing.
Always a good advice.
Absolutely,
that's
yeah.
For sure.
That was a pretty
exciting. Well, good for you to follow, and good for you to help out like that.
Well, I don't know about good for me, but you got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
I'm glad everybody was safe, but I can't imagine watching that in real time. That had to be crazy.
Well, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, so. And thank God for, you know, having 911, you can get a hold of and get some response fairly quick, and we did. So, but I have no clue what happened or what the situation was.
I can tell you this, you cannot take on a semi truck and win.
Oh, no. No, it doesn't work real well.
Here's C.W. McCaw as they go down the highway. Stay clear, be safe.
Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.